Good morning, and I welcome you to the Bible Let the Bible Speak program. I'm glad that you're with us this morning, and I appreciate you tuning in. We're looking at the New Testament church. We want to be a church belonging to Christ. We want to be New Testament Christians today, not just simply pick some religion nearby that is made by man, but we want to go all the way back to the New Testament. And so we're looking at the New Testament church, and this morning on the program, I want to talk about the authority of the church. Less than a year after Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church," Matthew 16:18, he was buried. He rose from the dead. He ascended to heaven. And the New Testament church was established on the day of Pentecost. Almost 2,000 years has passed since these great historical events have occurred. And the main question in our life today is, what is the authority in the church? Who expresses it? Where does it come from? What is the nature of it? What is the purpose of it? What is the function of this authority? Authority is what gives a person a right to do something. What is the source of a Christian's authority today? What is, or who is, the ultimate seat of authority? And that really is the main issue today. And not understanding this issue, we will just simply have all kinds of religions and all kinds of religious authority. One of the main problems today in religion is the matter of authority. Who has it? Where is it located? And so that's what we want to look at this morning. Am I the authority on religion? Are you the authority on religion? Who is? Authority itself basically means the right or the power to command someone, to make someone comply. Authority determines a belief system. Authority determines a doctrine or a practice. Authority is what is given to a person, and they are responsible to follow that authority. Ultimately, God is the seat and the source of all divine authority. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11, that God works all things after the counsel of His own will and according to the good pleasure of His own will. Ultimately, everything goes back to God. So, we're going to turn to the Scripture on our program this morning, and we're going to find out where authority resides for the New Testament church, for our lives today. And if we're a part of something that is not this authority, then you need to get out of that. You're a part of something that has another authority, but it's not the right authority. Before we look at what the Bible says about authority, I just wanted to briefly talk about three popular attitudes or opinions about authority. First of all, some people say that the authority is the authority of the church, capital C. This is a body of men, a visible body, a hierarchy of men that determines truth. This is the position, for example, of the Roman Catholic Church, that authority, part of the authority comes from the Bible, but the other part of authority comes from the church. They call it the magisterium, the official body that delivers authority to its followers. And the main spokesman or head is the Pope. So one approach to authority is that authority is two-pronged, partly the Bible and partly the church or the Roman Catholic Church. A second attitude is very similar to this, but it came as a result of the Protestant Reformation in the late 1500s and early 1600s. Different Catholics were protesting the Catholic Church in Europe primarily. And so it's called the Protestant Reformation. They're trying to reform abuses of the Catholic Church. Out of that Protestant Reformation came a second approach to authority, and that is, it's the same thing, except instead of authority residing in the church, authority resides in each individual denominational creed or organism or tradition. So the Presbyterian Church, for example, came about as the Reformation. The Lutheran Church came about as a part of the Reformation. The Church of England came about as a part of the Reformation. The Baptist Church came about as a part of the Reformation. Late 1500s, early 1600s, along in that period of time. And they said that authority resides partly in the Bible and partly in each and individual denominational creed or council. So these different denominations, Presbyterian Council, Baptist Council, Methodist Council, Church of England Council, they would write up creeds. Creed is from the Latin word credo, I believe. It's just simply a document that states what each individual denomination believes. So that was the second approach to authority. A third approach to authority is inward feelings, what I think and what I feel. Inner light, some religious people called it. There were actually some, like the Quakers, who eventually came to the United States. They viewed authority as what they called the divine inward revelation. Divine inner revelation. And they said that these are not subject to outward testimony or natural reason, for this divine revelation and inward illumination, it is what is evident and clear, quoting from one of the Quaker documents. So this ended up being then, authority means what's inside of us, what we think and feel. So again, among religions today, there are those who, number one, rely upon what the church says. There are those who rely upon denominational creeds and councils. There are those who rely on inward feelings. And so, really, before you can discuss authority with someone, you have to ask them, what is your approach to authority? Is it the New Testament only, or is it these other things? There have been a variety of ideas about authority. And going back to the period of the Reformation, Martin Luther's defense of infant baptism is a great example of what's going on with regard to Scripture and what it says or what it does not say. He took the approach that something could be authorized even when the Bible is silent about it. He said, quote, "What therefore is not against Scripture is for Scripture, and Scripture for it." So as long as it's not condemned, then it's fine to do it. And so people began to say, well, there's authority in what the Bible doesn't say, or the silence of the Scripture. As long as something is not opposed to it, we don't necessarily have to actually have expressed authority. Well, then all kinds of innovations came about, starting with the Reformation movement up to the present day. Many doctrines and practices were argued and defended on what the Bible doesn't say, or the silence of Scripture. So there have just been a lot of different attitudes toward authority, and we've got to get back to what the Scripture teaches about that. The authority of God simply is in God's Word. There was an Old Testament, Genesis through Malachi, an authoritative body, the Law of Moses for Israel. There's a New Testament, Matthew through Revelation, the 27 books of the New Testament, the Law of Christ. And God's authority is revealed to us today through Jesus Christ. Loyalty to Christ is loyalty to God. I'm mindful of John 5:23. When you honor the Son, you honor the Father. So when we honor the words of Christ, we honor God. The authority of God is through Christ and in Christ. And Christ expressed his authority by his apostles. Jesus handpicked 12 apostles. And when Judas hung himself, Matthias replaced him in Acts chapter 1. And these apostles had binding and loosing authority. In Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church," he followed it up with the statement that's very important. Number one, the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. His death and the death of Christians are not going to cause the church not to be built. And then, "I will give unto thee," he's talking to Peter and the apostle. He's talking to Peter here, and we know from chapter 18 and verse 18 that he's talking to all the apostles, which is very important, not just Peter. And he says, "The keys of the kingdom of heaven, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." First of all, authority of the apostles is expressed in the term keys. When you have a key to open a door or a car or turn on your car, you have authority to open that door and go in your home or start up your car. Matthew 18, verse 18, the keys, the authority was given to all the apostles. To bind, you must do this, you cannot go beyond this, and to loose, to allow, to forbid, and to allow. And the tense of the verse is that you're binding what has already been bound in heaven, and you are loosing what has already been loosed in heaven. And so, binding and loosing authority. You're allowed to do this, you're not allowed to do this. Number two, authority was expressed in thrones. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 28, the apostles would sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And when somebody is sitting on a throne, they, like a king, they have authority. Number three, it was expressed in the fact that they were ambassadors. They have authority to speak on behalf of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:20 and Ephesians 6 verse 20. Paul later was added to the apostolic authority. And so with this authority, the apostles gave direct statements, they provided examples, and they wrote things in such a way that they implied things that are to be inferred. And so, apostolic authority. God speaks and reveals his will through Jesus Christ, Hebrews 1:1-2. And Jesus, in turn, gives his authority to his apostles. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, all authority had been given to Jesus from the Father, and then he gave them that authority to go and make disciples of all nations. So the chain of revelation is God to Jesus to the apostles. Now, we see something else when we turn over to John chapter 14. There's another link in the chain, if you will, and that is the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The apostles were not left just simply to think up their own ideas and make up their own words and their own concepts. They were guided by the Holy Spirit. So in John chapter 14 and verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give unto you the Comforter, or a Helper, that he may be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. You can turn over to John 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he shall guide you into all the truth. For he shall not speak from himself, but whatsoever things he shall hear, these shall he speak, and he shall declare unto you the things that are to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall declare it unto you. All things whatsoever the Father has are mine. Therefore said I, that he takes of mine and shall declare it unto you. So if you just walk that backwards, the Father declared it to Jesus. Jesus gave it to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guided the apostles into all the truth. The chain, if you will, or the link of divine inspiration. Also, we need to understand that when the Holy Spirit spoke through the apostles, they were guided into all the truth. Not some of it, not most of it, but all of it. And so when the apostles spoke and when they wrote, their revelation was finished and complete and finalized and perfected. Jude 3, contend earnestly for the faith which is once for all delivered. We have all things that pertain unto life and godliness, 2 Peter 1, 2 and 3. The inspired scriptures make one complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. So, during the age of the apostles, they spoke and wrote doctrinal standards, and they wrote what was to be done. They wrote how Christians were to live, and these Christians were obligated to live by this. This is not just simply their opinion. And so it's the apostles' words that are coming from the Holy Spirit, which is coming from Christ, which is coming from God. That is what is the authority in the New Testament church and even today. Paul wrote, for example, that Timothy was coming to see Corinth and the Corinthian brethren in 1 Corinthians 4:17. Timothy, who shall put you in remembrance of my ways which are in Christ, even as I teach everywhere in every church. This becomes a rule of faith for everyone. And so, the New Testament are the words of the apostles. It's given by inspiration, 2 Timothy 3:16. The Holy Spirit guided the apostles into all the truth. Paul and the apostles had the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:12 through 13. What Paul wrote are the commandments of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 14:37. So this is where the authority for the church in the New Testament is coming from. And listen very carefully, friends, it has not changed to this day. We don't get our authority from a magisterium, from the church, the Catholic Church. We do not get our authority from various denominational creeds and confessions, the Westminster Confession of Faith, and so forth. Creeds, councils, documents of man. And number three, we don't get our authority from inward feelings, the subjective, constantly relative, moving around feelings, but the words of the apostles. The New Testament is inspired. Number two, the New Testament is perfect and complete. There's no latter day revelation. We have everything we need, and it is the very word of God. John 17:17, thy word is truth. And we accept the New Testament teaching and we accept the words of the New Testament as the word of God, not as the word of men. When Paul came to Thessalonica in Acts 17 and a church was started there, he writes to them later in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. He said, "When I came there, you received from us the word of the message, even the word of God. You accepted it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also works in you that believe." So we don't take the New Testament and just dismiss it outright and say, well, that's just the words of men. No, Paul and others spoke the very word of God. And when we hear it, that's where our faith comes from. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, 17. We walk by faith. We walk by the words of God. And we speak the same things, 1 Corinthians 1, 10, when we speak as the oracles of God, 1 Peter 4, 11. We speak as the New Testament speaks. And so, in the early 1800s, even in this country, there were those up in Kentucky in the Northeast who were leaving denominations because they realized that the creeds and the councils and the words of men were divisive and dividing. They left those things simply for the New Testament. And they would say things like, we want to speak where the Bible speaks, and we want to be silent where the Bible is silent. Getting back to the true authority for the church. Friends, our authority is in the words of the apostles in the New Testament. The church is the body of Christ, and he is the head. He's the head of the body, which is the church. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. As its head, he expresses authority to his apostles, and the apostles spoke and wrote those things down. Authority is not in anyone else. There's been no succession of apostles. The Catholic Church says that various individuals down through time are the successors of the apostles. There's no successors of the apostles. What succeeds, what follows, is their words in the New Testament. All of the revelation took place during the time of the apostles. There's no authority in supposed successors of the apostles. There's no authority in church councils. There's no authority in hierarchical assemblies. There's no authority in denominational and sectarian creeds. It's just not there. These things are produced by men. And a lot of times they're amended and changed by men. You talk to people in various denominations, they will tell you that the denominational rules change from time to time. Talk to your Catholic friends. Talk to your Protestant friends. They will tell you that church leadership changes rules from time to time. And in the last 20 or so years, many denominations have changed on homosexuals in leadership roles and things like that. So it's not just that man is writing these things, but they get changed from time to time whenever there's a council or a convention. And men and women today in these denominational churches vote. They vote on the changing of different doctrines. And so the person in the pew, every once in a while, they get an update. Well, our denominational position on this has now changed. I was once talking to a member of a Methodist church here in Clarksville, and she was disheartened by the fact that her denomination had changed position on homosexuality to accept it. She was not for that because she understood the Bible to be against that, as it is in both Old and New Testament. But her denomination had changed their position and now accepting homosexuals in the church leadership. Well, that's what you get into when you are a part of a denomination. You buy into this idea that authority and doctrine and principles are going to change from time to time. as men and women change that. So friends, we need to have the authority of the New Testament. In the New Testament, local churches were governed by elders who took the Word of God and used that as their authority. In the New Testament, elders watched over the local church. They were stewards, Titus 1:7. And they cared for the flock. They cared for the house of God, 1 Timothy 3:5. They watched over the flock of God, 1 Peter 5:1-5. And they would take the Word of God and use it as authority. They don't come up with their own authority. They simply carry out the authority that is already in the New Testament church. They steer and guide the local church with wise, biblically inspired counsel. They oversee the flock of God, and they use the New Testament scriptures as authority. When the Hebrew writer, for example, speaking of the elders, says, "Obey them that have the rule over you," Hebrews 13:17, the elders in the local church, what are we obeying? They're not a separate authoritative council. We're obeying any decisions that they're making as they are carrying out the Word of God. So, when the apostles died, the elders are left in the local church to carry out now that written and revealed authoritative and apostolic Word of God. And that the authority of the elders is local, over the local church, the local flock. Acts chapter 20:17, 1 Peter 5:1-5, watching over only the local church. That's as far as the authority of the elders carrying out the New Testament goes. Some of it involves disciplinary action. Matthew 18:17, 1 Corinthians 5, Romans 16:17, where they can say someone is not acting according to the Word of God, 2 Thessalonians 3, and using the New Testament, withdraw fellowship from those who are not acting properly according to the New Testament scriptures. So, today, there are those who follow the authority of men, but we need to follow the authority laid down in the New Testament. Friends, authority is very, very important. Who is going to be the one that gives us the right or the power to do something? It needs to be the words of Jesus Christ in the New Testament and no one else. I call you out of anything that you might be in that's coming from somewhere else, and just simply follow the authority of the New Testament. Thank you for being with us today, and I hope that you'll have a good day. What is in it tells us the importance of it. Thank you for studying with us today, and I hope that you'll have a good day.